This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's playoff race at Kansas and hear from your winner, the most popular driver in NASCAR, Chase Elliott, who led part of the front stretch.
400 feet.
That's it. Playoff talk or pay? Yeah, playoff talk. I got payoff talk. That too. It's been a topic this week. It may be a topic in our second segment. Got a crew chief leaving. One of the drivers that is not doing so well. So we're just going to go ahead and replace him this week. That's how bad he's doing. But we head to the Roval. Speaking of this week, we'll get you ready for that. Also, your week six playoff standings, Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy standings. Horrible. And much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air.
If I'm going to score 200 points in a week, I don't want to finish 11th.
Dude, I scored 196 right behind you. And
it's ridiculous.
12.
And I scored 211 right in front of you.
Yeah, 211 right in front of us. I mean, it's not like, that's what I told Blake Buell today. I was like, I saw him and I was like, man, it's a struggle when you score that many points and you finish way down the bottom. So that was a mess. All right, I'm going, let's just be honest. Some drivers this week, including Carson Hocevar, he's got some issues. They might have had motor issues, or some just may have needed to pit for tires. They should have called Premier Tire and Auto. They have a history of providing tires and making sure your car is running great is their passion. They also have courtesy cars, so you don't have to miss work. Locally owned also, located off of North Lee Highway. Give them a call, 423-479-3365, and get back on the road today. I should mention that I'm Jamie Kyle, and to my radio right is not Jason Hildebrand.
And not all things Alabama.
Not all things Alabama. That would be the NASCAR Finish Line radio historian, Arnold Tarpley, joining us. And the man spinning the tunes, he's spinning the opinions. Got me on the little, you know, he goes out. He sends me a text, finally, first. I'm sitting in the driveway trying to transact business, trying to understand a scenario. He sends it, and he's like, waiting on you, or something like that. And so then he's standing at the door like your mom when she was waiting on you because you were late, just tapping his foot. So I walk in. There's two sets of doors to get in here to the studio. I walk in. Scott lets one shut, but then he tries to open the other, and we're locked out. He locked himself out of his own building. So then he has to go around to the super secret squirrel door where he has a key and get us in. So anyway, that's the super producer, Scott Webb. All right, heater dud meter. I was torn. So I just kind of left it at a 2.5. Arnold, one is best, five is worst. I'm going with in the middle at a 2.5.
I'll go two.
Hey, I'm not used to positivity coming out of that seat over there, Arnold. So this is a little different.
Granted, there's parts of it that was just follow the leader, but then there's other parts that was pretty dicey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a good race. Great race is probably a stretch, but I kind of like where Arnold sits there. Great finish.
Fantastic
finish. A good overall race. So for a Kansas race that has had some good moments over the last couple of years, I thought it was a pretty solid week.
Toyota's fast. I put that in there because I was watching qualifying and some practice on Saturday, and it seemed like the Fords. I completely revamped my fantasy, which helped me because I scored a lot of points. Didn't rank where I should have, but Fords looked
fast. Scored a lot of points, finished 12th.
Yes, and then you know Toyota started kind of putting it on at the end, and then I start looking at the overall the people who are out there the longest at practice, and it looked very Toyota-ish. It's one of those things where when you've got two Toyotas that are battling for the lead, and we'll talk about Denny and Bubba, Chris Bell was in that scenario too. Chase Briscoe, you really could have had a top four
I thought easily.
Easily, Toyota kind of finish until Denny goes in there and does that. So let's talk about that real quick. There's been a lot of talk. Denny, of course, on his podcast said, I'm not saying sorry or I'm not apologizing. I don't know.
I love the quote saying, I'm the team owner from Monday through Friday, but on Sunday.
Or Monday through Saturday.
Monday through Saturday. Sunday, they pay me a lot of money to win races.
Okay. Yes. But I don't think, and yeah, he said he didn't have any power steering. I don't know about that. Yeah. But you go in there and you just waste.
He was mad for 100 laps that he didn't have power steering. That thing was awful fast not to have power steering.
And boy, did he cut left.
Yeah.
But what he could have done, and in my deal, is you try to get in there to get by Bubba to win the race, but you let him hang on, because what he's effectively done now is he's put Bubba in a must-win scenario at Charlotte. Now, Scott's looking at me like he's about to say, well, that's Bubba's fault. He should have won the race. But my point is, the way he went in there, he would not take from anybody else. And for Denny, last week he was in the penalty box with Ty Gibbs. This week, Bubba flipped him a bird out the window and called him a couple names on TV. He's got problems 2 weeks in a row. So if those two drivers go out, which it looks like it will, he may have problems going forward.
Well, I mean, Bubba has to remember who's writing his checks. So I'm sure there's a Hamlin signature on his checks each week. So he needs to be careful of that. I think here's the impression I have, and I may be way off base here, but it seems like Denny thinks he has a real shot to win the championship this year, something that he's never done, and that he's just letting it all loose on Sundays. And he doesn't care who gets in his way. He doesn't care what car they drive. None of that matters to him. All he's trying to do is advance and get himself an opportunity. And I tip my hat to that. I like the aggressiveness and not caring who's in your way. Will it come back to bite him? We'll see. I would, you know, the Ty Gibbs thing is a little more, I think, could it be a little more impactful than what's happening with Bubba? Because Bubba, that guy's still co-owner of your car. Right. So we'll see how all that plays out. But I don't want to say desperation, because Hamlin is still one of the best drivers in the sport. And it looks like he could do this for several more years. But I think he sees an opportunity, and he's doing everything he can to try to make sure that they are advancing and giving themselves a chance to win the championship.
You know, I agree with everything he said. Owner Monday through Saturday, driver on Sunday. But on Sunday, when he's the driver, does he really want to give it to his driver like he did there? Now, so they talk about how the cars get tight side by side. Okay.
That thing got real tight then.
Yeah,
real fast.
Yeah, real tight,
without,
real fast.
Without any power steering, yeah. Quote unquote.
So I don't know that he does write a few checks out there that he wind up not being able to cash, because historically I've seen years that I thought Denny was the odds on winner, and he'll do something stupid and cost himself the win of the championship.
They haven't had that bad pit stop, that poor decision yet that they typically have during these playoffs that end up costing him. So it's something to watch. I think you're onto something there, Arnold. They've got to figure out a way to just keep winning it, but he's starting to write checks. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to cash on down the road, and there could be a cost to the way he's driving right now. If this was the one car, we'd be going ballistic. Oh, right. Chastain. Yeah. Oh, Hosovar. They don't know what they're doing, because it's a guy that's been driving for 20 years.
This is the main guy that complains about how everybody else drives.
I mean, but that's every race car driver I've ever heard.
Right. Well, and so the question I have is, you guys have both mentioned Denny Hamlin as the owner. He's just a half. I would say the main checks are coming from the guy that's Michael Jordan, that has his own Nike brand.
And
what's that conversation like on Monday with Denny? Do you think it goes the same way?
I think on Monday morning, Michael Jordan looked at Denny and says, really?
Yeah. What, and I would venture to guess that's probably about a $16 million move.
Yeah.
And when I say that, if you finish in the top 16, top 12 in points or whatever, there's a pretty good payday coming your way in comparison to you know, not finishing there. Yeah. So if that bumped him down even further, where there could be money to make if he made the top eight, that's going to be a big time money deal to a team that has no charters and needs cash flow.
I mean, look at it this way: Bubba Wallace winning that race, Denny Hamlin's still okay. Wallace is in the next set of races, and Joey Logano's out.
Yep.
Think about that. Joey Logano is out.
And Logano, as Scott says, pretty much every week has that knack of if you leave him in there, he's got a chance.
The longer you leave him in the playoffs, the more dangerous he becomes.
Yeah. And so I think that's the thing. But, I mean, I could see Denny's side of that, though, is yeah. I've got to go win a race because I have to answer to Joe Gibbs and to FedEx, to whoever else is his sponsors, you know, to say that I won it. Now, is he a good enough driver, you know, to where he could Clint Bowyer that thing and, you know, somehow ride it up the racetrack on the brakes and say he got loose and still stay behind him to where Bubba could win? Probably. But, you know, people would then, this conversation we'd be having now is, did Denny slow down to let his driver win? And so I think it's just, it's flip aside.
I don't know if there's a situation where Denny is a winner in either way.
No.
You know, he,
especially after coming off last week.
Right. And I think, you know, going into four, he drove it in there hard, got a little tight, rode up the track. Now, they never did touch. If you go back and look at the replay, he never did touch Bubba. But they took each other's momentum, and they opened the door for Elliott to just bury it on the bottom and come around and race back to the line and win a race that Elliott had. He started 10th
yeah.
in that green-white checker. It had no business being where – like, every move he made was just the only move he could have made that would have got him a win. But when the opportunity was there, he put his foot on the floor and did a lot of praying, and it came out, and he came out as a winner.
It's like
if you go back and look at Chase's in-car throughout the entire run, he actually bumps Denny into a position to where he could even have a chance at Bubba.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you boys read the show schedule, because that's who I was going to talk about next, is Chase Elliott. This is one of the few times that Chase Elliott has come off the truck and qualified well to have a chance to run well, and would have run well no matter if he won or not. He would have been in the top 10. But I think he qualified fourth, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe wrong there. But it was on up towards the front, where his average for the past, you know, 6-8 weeks or whatever has been somewhere in the teens and 20s as far as qualifying goes. So with Chase Elliott being the type of driver he is, Hendrick Motorsports supplying the type of cars, does this put Chase in a place now to where he's going to be in the top eight, to where he has a chance with several good tracks, including he can go win the Roval, it won't help him, but going into Martinsville where he's pretty good, and then he's really good at Phoenix?
Well, I mean, there's going to be opportunities, but there's a lot of guys that are good at those tracks too. So I think, you know, at this stage, all you're trying to do is survive to the next round. And you give yourself three more opportunities to put yourself into the championship round. So this week, there's no pressure. They can go out there and just run their race. They don't have to worry about, you know, they're not saving anything right now. So you don't have to worry about that. But you can start to peek ahead and look at Las Vegas, another mile and a half track that they've had some moderate success at. The Toyotas have been fast there in the past. So the Fords, I mean, they've got some. Next week is interesting. But then you got the wild card of wild cards coming up in a couple weeks in Talladega. And then, you know, we've got some people that run really well at Martinsville that if they don't have a spot locked up, you're going to start circling in pencil saying, these are cars I'm looking forward to. So you win this one, you can take a deep breath, and then you can start to gear up for the next round.
Arnold, there's not really anybody. I'm just looking right now. Top eight finish if they go into the next three. Logano, Briscoe, Blaney, Elliott, Byron, Bell, Hamlin, Larson. There's really – I would say if I had to choose now who would be a legit – championship contender out of the final four, I would probably throw the 12 car out there and lay all my chips in that basket, maybe the 22. But nobody else really has any momentum that would lead me to think that, man, if all eight of those cars, you throw them in and you pick four, I can't find four that are extremely consistent and running well right now.
Hamlin is running pretty well. I mean, he's pretty consistent.
Yeah, that 19 car's been pretty...
19 is the other one that I'm looking at real closely. Those two right there have run well pretty much the entire last group, you know, 4 to 8 races.
Right.
Brian Blaney, he's going to be a threat all the way through.
You can throw... I mean, we went to Talladega 2 years ago, and Blaney won there, and... If he didn't win, it was going to probably be Keselowski or Logano. Those Fords run really well at Talladega, and that's almost his meal ticket, get to the Final Four.
Logano, like you said, as long as he's alive, he's a threat. And Talladega, he can win that real easily.
Yeah. That, he's won at Vegas before.
Yeah.
There's some interesting stuff going on. But, I mean, the main thing is this week, you've got to try to make sure you get yourself in. And right now, Logano is where is he sitting? Eighth in points. So, I mean, he's got work to do. He's got to have a good week this week. He can't rest on his laurels. They got to make sure that
gonna make somebody that 8 through 12 or 9 through 12 doesn't win.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have a good week. So,
and the thing of it is, no matter what we think about Logano as being a threat, he has not run well in the last dozen races.
No, he's not run well all year.
Yeah.
But again, I would go back to his championship year and would like to see how well he run there. I don't think it was, I think that was the year he had a win at Richmond, but got that taken away from him. May have got a win later on, but it's to be known. It's going to be a lot of fun getting this last four. All right, let's get to the shock finisher of the week.
Shock finisher of the week brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Caldwell Paving and Grading, just turn me off there, Scott. They can do driveways, roads, and with their own asphalt plant, they can pave interstates as well. Give them a call, 423-336-3841 for a quote today. I'm going, when I put this down, I thought y'all would question this, but I'm going to go with a 9 of Chase Elliott. To him to have run the way he's ran, it was shocking to me that he was in contention one, but then also got the win.
My shock finisher... I'll take the 23 car because I thought the last 10 laps of that race, I thought that they were going to win. I thought they had put themselves in position, we're going to go out there and win a race. And to, I don't want to say give it away. There's really not a giveaway, but you know how these end of race, when you get green, white checkers, anything can happen. And they just happen to put themselves in a situation that allowed them to win, to lose a race they probably should have won. So I'll take the 23.
I'm going to jump out there a little different direction. I'm going to take the 88. Finished 10th.
Oh, championship on the trioval. Championship material.
I'm not saying that, but I said shocking that he's 10th.
I know. Tell me about it. It's extremely shocking.
It'll be in everybody's fantasy lineup this week.
Yeah. Well, no doubt about that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's jump to the Victory Lane interview. It's brought to you by Quick Check Convenient Smart. This is my neighborhood gas station. At Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drink, plus Midnight Oil gasoline for your car, and they've even got 100% gasoline for Arnold's lawn equipment now that he has the $100,000 truck he can throw his lawnmower in the back and go mow stuff. All right, located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road, stop by and fill up today.
Man, I feel like anything could happen, but I mean, you're lining up 10th on a green white checker, your odds are not very high, I wouldn't say at that point. But I mean, yeah, I've seen crazier things. So my mindset was just try and build up as much momentum as I could and hope things kind of went my way. And fortunately they did. I feel like I got about as far as I was going to get, off of two, had momentum on the white, and then, I saw the 11 and 23 racing hard in three, and I thought, man, if I just stick the bottom here, I might have at least be three wide with them off of four, or something was kind of what I was shooting for. And I really don't know. I have to go back and watch it. I haven't seen it. I saw them run in there really hard. My eyes went, to just do the best I could do to paint the bottom as fast as I could paint it. And I really kind of quit watching them. And then I saw the 11 coming back down and obviously ran into him, I think he was trying to cover my run, but he was too late, at that point. So, just stayed with it and beat him back to the line. So we'll take it.
Best thing about Chase Elliott's interview at the start-finish line is, like, I wasn't lifting. So just I wasn't coming off the gas. Yeah. All right. Anything that looks halfway professional or like we didn't do it on social media, especially Twitter and Facebook, is done by WebOp Digital Marketing. They can do the same for you. They can make your business look really professional on any of the socials when you're trying to advertise. Go to webob.com for more information. All right. When we come back, it's news in the world of NASCAR. We'll be back right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Listen, it's not too far away. Well, I say that. It may not get cold until January. Who knows? But when it does get cold, you want to make sure that heater's working. Give Dale a call at Dale's Heating and Air here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787. Or do like we do. Just call Dale's. .com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR, as always, is brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. This is my pharmacy and has been for years. Is your weight or insurance denying that weight loss drug, Arnold?
Yeah.
It better not
be. You can tell.
But if you can, that's probably the Hildebrand's never done it. If they are, you can go get some weight loss compounds that you can pay cash for and as low as $154 every time you buy. To find out more information, go by and see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road. Or give them a call, 423-790-0443. All right, a couple of things that kind of broke today, and then we'll get into a little playoff talk. But Carson Hocevar fined $50,000 for Clint Bowyer in the thing at Richmond. He spun it out, and by the time the track personnel got there, he took off. Now, I haven't looked into it enough to see, nor do I really remember it happening on Sunday, but. It had to be enough from looking at the in-car camera that NASCAR deemed it to be sufficient enough to garner a fine. So it is one of those things.
I want to ask the question. Would if Ryan Blaney had done that, would they have fined him $50,000?
No.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah. Who knows? Also, RCR, some changes at RCR, especially for Kyle Busch. This is one thing I think that had to happen. Randall Burnett parting ways at the end of the season. RCR has decided Andy Street will step in as crew chief for the number 8 and will be effective this weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Burnett will continue contributing in a support role with the organization through the end of the season. That screams to me, we'll keep him on. He'll be gone. Like he's going to let... They're going to let Burnett hang around when he's going to.
Yeah, that sounds like we got a contract. And if we're going to pay him, if we got to pay him to work, we're going to get something out of him.
That's exactly right.
That's
so
what that sounded like.
I think that's one of the things that when we think about Kyle Busch, there had to be a change. This is probably a start, but I still don't know if it's going to be effective enough. All right, so Jeff Gluck. Was talking on the breakdown, had a big discussion about the playoffs. I think that a lot of what they were talking about is what Scott has been talking about for a while is when I think you had 1.9 million viewers for Kansas, maybe less. I know at Bristol we had 1.2, 1.3 million viewers. And so,
like I say all the time, I love this sport. But it's hard for me to watch on Sundays.
So I guess
during football season,
their point, and this is where I want your opinion. It's not the time of year that they're doing it. Their point was no matter what playoff scenario that you throw out there, you want to say Winston Cup, you want to say Chase, you want to say playoffs, whatever you want to say, is not going to make a difference. We can gripe about it, and we can want to change it. But it's not going to make a difference because
you're talking about from a viewership standpoint.
Correct.
No, it's not going to make any difference.
If Michigan, you being a Michigan fan, if they are playing football on Sunday, and NASCAR has 4 drivers that are competing that doesn't matter where they finish, they don't have to win, and it's at Talladega. And you know there could be wrecks, and people may have to fix those cars and get them back out there just to win the championship. You're watching the Michigan game.
That is correct. 100% of the time.
That's and so I guess here's the what I see from the business model standpoint. If I can gather 1 point, we'll say 5 million people each week to watch something that I'm putting out there. And granted, this was on USA. If it's on, you know, 3, 9, or 12, we could be talking maybe 2.3, 2.4.
Is it me? And I don't mean to break your train of thought here, but have just about all the races since they switched to NBC
has been USA.
Been on USA?
Yeah. Yes. And I think that may have a little to do with it, but what are they doing on Sunday? On
yeah,
NBC?
Yeah, but Sunday, like this Sunday, I get it. They had the Ryder Cup on NBC. Right. They were always going to have the Ryder Cup on NBC. I watched more of the Ryder Cup that was terrible than I did of the race.
Right. I think the deal where I'm going with is if you took off in August, if you ended this end of August, 1st of September,
yep.
Can NASCAR or any sport for that matter go September, October, November, December, January, and then pick back up in February and keep its relevancy? The thing that I would say that you would have to have somebody to keep that sport in front of everybody during those off months, because when does hockey end? July?
June.
And then it picks back up in?
They'll now. Start next week.
Yeah, so this is October. So July, August, September,
every
October.
Sport has a legitimate 3, 4, 5 month off season, except for the sport that we cover on this show.
So if you ended in August, September,
because we're
October,
here
November,
from
December,
February
January,
to November.
February. So you're looking at 6 months there without any kind of on track in front of people's homes. So how hard would it be to attract new people or keep new people to the sport if you had no content for a period such as 6 months?
It's the same thing as every other sport.
Every other sport, such as NFL football, they have some sort of football going on.
So it is
in February.
We can't ever compare this sport to the NFL.
Well, go baseball. Baseball has a long 167-game schedule.
Yeah, but they're done playing
in
November, December, January. They'll come back, mid-February, but they don't start playing games to the
but it's being
beginning
talked about.
Of
there's April. Things happening.
April.
Yeah. Well, games start in April, but pitchers and catchers will report end of February, 1st of March. Yeah. So you've got stuff going on there. So I don't know if August is the when you stop. Can you have a final playoff championship type race? Can you have that in September and it still be relevant and then only have October, November, December, January, February? Then you've got the typical 5 months like every other sport.
I think they're going to do any of this. But I think that they can end the sport right around Labor Day. And they can have they can do doubleheader weeks. They could do, race. If they're going to race twice at Bristol, they could run a Saturday night race and a Sunday night race
right
at Bristol. They could find a way to get enough dates in the schedule to make it work. But I don't know that this sport is ever going to be impactful enough that it's still a niche kind of sport.
We call that niche in the South.
Yeah. That it will, it's only going to draw a certain amount of attention. So I don't, and when hardcore people like me are watching the Ryder Cup or watching NFL football and not paying attention to the race and trying to get caught up, and fortunately all that stuff kind of concluded in enough time for me to watch the last 100 laps of the race. But I think they've got to define some way to do some things outside the box to get out of this. I mean, it's just hard to compete when the base of your sport is primarily in the South. I know they have pockets of people, and there's places all over the country.
West Coast.
Yeah, that love racing. But the vast majority of people, and where this sport, the grassroots of this sport is in the South. When those people are tied up on Saturday, and now even as fantasy football has become a much bigger thing, people are obviously watching the NFL on Sunday. anything you can do to get out of competing with that and trying something different can only help elevate, I think, can only help elevate the popularity of the sport. So I'm not confident that they're ever going to try to do anything like this, but I would highly suggest them look at, see if there's ways to constrict the season, whether it's doubleheader weekends, whether it's running some midweek races. If you condense the schedule, it becomes, oh, it's, I've got to pay attention to what's going on. There's three races in 10 days. That maybe that has a positive impact instead of trying to run 36 races over 40 weeks and it just loses its impact. I mean, this sport is so unique and different because their biggest race of the year is not at the end of the year, it's at the beginning of the year. And if they can't find a way to keep the audience's attention, once it gets to a certain time of the year, people are going to tap out and be done.
You know when IndyCar starts?
They're in the spring, and they finish up
February.
Yeah, they start after Daytona,
and then they go 6 months, and typically they're done late August, early September. But that only includes 17 races.
No, I get that.
So I guess at that point, that is half, in essence, of what NASCAR does.
Right. Well, first of all, the season's too long. You can constrict some of that, or you can do what I said and do doubleheader weekends.
Right. But I'm just trying to get to, so I guess my thing would be is, and I'm looking at Formula One here, but you know, Formula One's 9 to 10 months is their season, and that typically will start February, early March, and end in early December. With 24 Grand Prix races across.
They're
in the worldwide, though.
Yeah, they're not competing the
so,
way.
So I think that the thing is we've got IndyCar that we can say is similar to NASCAR. And they've got 17 races or whatever. We've got 36. I think you could just end it at September.
Mid-September, I could live with because...
And I think that only gives you the same amount of off time as most every major sport.
Right.
Other than that.
You start... Now, the issue is going to be, typically, they've also started... Usually, Daytona is the Sunday after the Super Bowl.
Right.
Well, now they're looking at adding an additional week to the NFL season, so you may be pushing that schedule up anyway. So, I think at some point, if they want to keep the number of races they have, they're going to have to do some creative things, whether it's doubleheader weekends, whether it's a midweek racing, something, or this sport is just, well, and part of, on the flip side of that is live sports just sell on TV. Right. So they're going to get another big TV package, but I don't know if they're going to get the kind of money that they're hoping for if the product is not drawing the eyeballs it needs to do to have success.
Danny Hamlin had a comment in one of his detrimentals this week talking about that very thing and the fact that it's harder for, and you all rag on me about it and everything, but it's harder for the typical fan to keep track of where NASCAR is on TV. You know, that's harder to do now when you look at all the different things that they're doing. And then in the spring, you could probably start NASCAR earlier and compete with the NFL because you don't have that many games
right
the last week or two of the NFL and in the Super Bowl. However, how many tracks do you have that's warm enough to run that early in
Florida year? If you right. did. But in Texas, could, maybe even that point, too. I don't know
how warm it is in Texas. You got to be smart with the schedule with that.
Yeah.
But I would say, too, though, in so to your point, Arnold, you guys, when I say you, NASCAR historian age, you are kind of that group of NASCAR fans, 50, what are you, Scott, 55?
I'm 56, thanks.
I was trying to help him out. You know, 50 to, or even my 48 to 75, 85. Or 48
Did
to
he
still,
just call you 75?
No, I'm saying.
He said I'm old. That's
all I heard.
He is wearing the shirt, officially retired. But I would say anybody from 48 to death is what brought this sport from where it was to – to really, you know, grassroots around to Daytona happens in the 70s, and then we watch it from there on out. So when you are switching it around, that's another conversation for another day. However, I think that, you know, that's where they've got to figure it out. The NFL somehow figured it out. I think NFL was on CBS back in the 70s and 80s, and you had the Cowboys every week, right? And then somehow NFL figured out, hey, we can keep everybody. And I think football's different, and this is – we got to move on, and I'm probably rambling. But football's different because people can play it in your backyards and all this stuff. So you're never going to be able to compete. Not everybody can race. They've got
except
a niche.
You.
Correct. Or a niche, as you say, up in Michigan. And so it's like, how do you fit that in a certain time frame to where it could be most beneficial for you for rating, sponsorship, and when – people go depending on sponsorship in comparison to TV revenue that's not shared. I think that's when the sport's better.
I don't disagree with that, but from NASCAR's perspective, if they could take eight races from, you know, this is going back to Denny's point about not being on multiple networks, they can take eight races and sell these here, eight races and sell these here, four races and sell these here. And they make more money than they could if they just have two networks where Fox and NBC are the only ones bidding on it. You know, financially, if you're running that business, you're going to say, well, I'll break it up and make more money if I can make more money. The issue goes back to, A, is the season too long? And B, can they find a way to still make the money they want to make off TV deals and other stuff that is, I'm trying to wrap it up. Now I've lost my train of thought. We've just go back and rewind it if you need to. It's a tough, and I don't, you know,
They're having to go to more revenue sources to get the same revenue they used to get. What you're kind of saying?
Well, yeah, kind of. But I mean, I think the money is going to be out there and they're going to have the ability to make a lot of money, but it may be across four or five networks.
Right. All right, let's jump into NASCAR Cup point standings. Brought to you by Bree Maya. With Cry Like Realtors, whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call at 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, hurriedly, take it away.
All right, Jamie, we're going to run through these things real fast. The point standings, Kyle Larson is the overall point leader, but remember, Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott are already qualified for the next round. Denny Hamlin second, Christopher Bell, William Byron, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Chase Briscoe, Joey Logano sitting in eighth place in points, battling against Ross Chastain, Bubba Wallace, Tyler Reddick, and Austin Cindric. And that is your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
Whether you're buying that dream home or selling a home, give Bree a call at Cry Like Realtors, 1-269-598-6243. All right, it's time to move on to the next race. That is the Roval. We'll talk about it right after this.
Got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. I was about to whistle that whole intro. That was pretty nice. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, and Scott Webb hanging out in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. This is what you got to play for the original intro every week. I'll go flying through the read. The one today was like a Bob Dylan. I almost had to read it slow, like I was reading a story. All right, it's time to move on to the next race in life. Your next race, maybe.
Close the Bob Dylan.
Maybe buying a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call. 423-763-1000 was just at Boundless Moving last Friday as they celebrated their 10-year anniversary. This is grassroots, start from the ground up moving company here in Cleveland, Tennessee that can move you countrywide. So you want to make sure you go to boundlessmoving.com as they're doing something good over at Boundless Moving. All right, so going to the Roval, I don't know if I'm a fan or not. I guess if it's if it gets down to where Jimmy Johnson's wrecking Martin Truex and then Blaney comes and wins the thing, okay. But if it runs to where somebody's just running away with it, like, you know, I think Bell did a couple of years ago, you can kind of have it. So, and I don't know that it's a good cutoff race. So I would like to throw Talladega in for the cutoff race. But it is what it is.
They're not going to do it.
Yeah, I know. All right. Shane Van Gensbergen was asked by our partners at MRN Radio this past week, what is your take on the layout of the Roval?
Yeah, certainly pretty different with the banking, and it's only really a corner at turn four of the NASCAR part where you got to get off it and try and brake. But I find it to be a fun layout. It's pretty cool and has all different types of corners, and then also the new corner they put in, I think it's turn seven. It, you know, you have so many different line options, and we saw some carnage there. Last year I got Hosevard, and I find it to be a fun racetrack.
Yeah, Hosevard, that's kind of fun for Van Gensbergen. I will give him a little bit of props. He did, like you said earlier, top 10, whatever.
Whatever, we're just going to totally bypass that now that he's eliminated.
Championship material. All right, the schedule for this week is brought to you by Clarity Property Management. Clarity Property Management is a locally owned property management company that handles finding tenants, collecting rent, and handles all the maintenance issues. If that's something you're looking for your rental property, give them a call at 423-458-2600. Tarp, what's the schedule?
Friday, October 3rd, 11:05 a.m., you got the Craftsman Truck Series practice on FS2, followed by the qualifying. Then at 3:30,
I bet you don't have FS2,
Arnold. Yeah, I know. That's just the way it is. Then at 3:30, you got the Craftsman Truck Series playoff race on FS1, and the stages are 20, 20, and 27, and only allowed four sets of tires.
Ooh, that's tough.
On Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Xfinity Series starts off on the CW with practice, then qualifying. At 2 p.m., the Cup Series does their practice, then follows that up with qualifying. That's on True and PRN in the Sirius XM. And at 5 p.m., the Xfinity Series Blue Cross North Carolina 250s on the CW and PRN. Another one, 20, 20, and 27 laps for your stages.
They're
on. And only four tires and on temporary lights.
Yeah, they got infield lights. So if it gets dark there, it's going to be kind of fun.
And then the next day on Sunday, you've got the NASCAR Cup Series Bank of America Roval at 3 p.m.
Of course.
And it's on USA, PRN, and Sirius XM. They get eight sets of tires, but your segments are 25, 25, and 59.
This is where I'd want to see more than a 5% chance of rain.
No. Actually, weather's going to be great this week.
You want to see rain tires. That's what you're wanting to do.
I want to add a little. Let's get some fishtails going on out there, whatever they call that. But, so it should be interesting. Eight sets of tires is probably going to be more than enough for the Cup Series, but I'd say it gets a little dicey for the Truck Series with four sets of tires, especially how those rear ends are so light. So you'll be sliding those babies around. So should be fun. That'll be, like Arnold said, on PRN Radio, which we have on ESPN Radio 101.3. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, it'll be time for the Rick Cart Fantasy Standings right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio, sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. It is now time.
Dig around for
my document over here. For the Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy Standings, and those are brought to you by Cleveland Aqua Tigers. No, Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team. Well, of course you did. This is the perfect sponsor for us, well, because they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com for more information. All right, so let's jump into the Kansas. That's crazy. Teddy O, 273 points. Heater up there with 263. Untethered Racing, 262. Loving Left Turns, he finally participated at 258. RLM Racing and Kivo Racing, they're buddies, and they're right next to each other by 2 points in fifth and sixth, respectively. Garth Brooks, otherwise known as Brandon Gaines, is in seventh. Going to rattle your cage. He's horrible. He's in eighth. The Real Lyle, Ninth. Tarpley in 10th. This is where the trifecta comes. 211, 202, and 196.
And that we didn't copy. Like
10, 11, and 12.
No.
And Blake Buell. Blake Buell, I talked to him today, and he's not disappointed. He finished in 13th. So, all right. The playoff standings go as follows. Teddy O, Loving Left Turns, Brandon Gaines, RLM Racing, Kivo Racing, me, Hildebrand, Tarpley, Gonna Rattle Your Cages, Horrible, Webbs in 10th, Untethered Racing, 11th.
I'm in 10th in everything.
The Real Lyle and Buell, and then overall, Teddy O, kind of the same names here, except Rattle Your Cages, 4th, but he's still horrible. Hildebrand in 5th, Kivo in 6th, Tarpley 7th, Loving Left Turns, 8th, me 9th, Untethered Racing in 10th. This time you're 11. 11th is Webb, The Real Lyle, and Blake Buell. All right. There's a lot to talk about there. Fantasy this week for the Roval. I've got Chase Elliott, AJ Allmendinger, Ty Gibbs, Michael McDowell, Austin Cindric, and in my garage I've got championship material, Shane Van Gensbergen. In the featured matchups, I got Van Gensbergen over Allmendinger. I've got Bubba Wallace over Denny because he's going to wreck him. I got Briscoe over Chastain. I've got Cindric over Reddick. NASCAR says if you're gambling, you should go with a must pick of the 88 of Van Gensbergen, a must pick of Christopher Bell, avoid Hamlin, avoid Keselowski, and the sleeper, number 22, Joey Logano. If you got a gambling problem, please stop. Get help. Heater, or not heater. That'd be Tarpley. Tarpley. Right ahead.
I'm not hot today. That's for certain. I got Christopher Bell, AJ Allmendinger, Tyler Reddick, Chris Buescher, Shane Van Gisbergen, and Chase Briscoe's in my garage. Then I'm taking Shane Van Gisbergen, Denny Hamlin, Ross Chastain, and Tyler Reddick.
I like a lot of those picks. I even made some of the same. I got SVG, Kyle Larson, AJ Allmendinger, Michael McDowell, and Tyler Reddick. I got William Byron in the garage. I got Shane Van Gisbergen over AJ Allmendinger. That's a mouthful.
I know.
Denny Hamlin over Bubba Wallace, Briscoe over Chastain, and Tyler Reddick over Austin Cindric.
Make sure you tune in next week as we'll break down the Roval and get you ready for Vegas. For Scott Webb, for Arnold Tarpley, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.